Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the effective work of Jesus at the cross, the shedding of his blood. We need nothing else. Nothing else. No other work needs to be done. That blood has covered it. That blood that still speaks today, that still speaks of salvation and redemption and forgiveness, still calls out to the lost, come to the Father. Hallelujah. That cleanses sin today just as effective as it did the moment it was shed. That doesn't cover like the blood of bulls and goats, but cleanses. That he entered in once into the heavenly holy of holies, once to make sacrifice, once to shed his blood, that we might obtain eternal redemption. Hallelujah. That blood. We give you praise. We give you honor, Lord. We'll magnify the blood. Magnify the effects of the blood of Jesus. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be God. Praise God. You know, a while back here, there was a move to remove all the songs that mentioned the blood of Jesus from some certain denominational hymn books because they said it was, you know, it was too gory, that it scared children. Well, there's only one child that gets scared of the blood of Jesus, and that's the devil. You mentioned the blood of Jesus, he's afraid. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for the blood, Lord. Thank you. Just thank him right now for his blood. Thank you for the blood as it's washed my sin. Hallelujah. It's taken my sin away. That we're white as scarlet, Lord God. Clean. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The stain of sin exists no more as if it never existed. We give you glory and honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That blood that's made entrance for us into the very heavenly holy of holies by a new and living way. By the blood of Jesus, we have access to the Father. We thank you, Father. Glorify you. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Well, you may be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. During the Azusa Street revival, there's a famous prophecy that came out of that. And concerning the blood of Jesus. And one of the statements that was made by the spirit of prophecy was, make much of the blood and the blood will make much of you. Yeah. Amen. I just tell you, in all these years of ministry and be 36 years this summer, I know that when we sing and magnify and talk about the blood of Jesus, that it just seems to create an atmosphere for the move of the Spirit of God and just seeing great and mighty things take place. And why should tonight be any different? I don't know what you're doing here tonight. I'm glad you're here. Maybe you didn't have a barbecue to go to or whatever the case was. Amen. On the Sunday night of Memorial Day weekend. But we're so glad that you're here. And we do honor tonight again the blood that's been shed naturally by the men and women that have protected this United States. Amen. And so we honor, if you've lost a loved one, in military service, we honor you. We honor you and your family for their sacrifice, and we thank God for these men and women who have done that, that have kept this country to the place that even still today we are able to freely meet tonight and share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to tell you right now, no devil in hell, if we'll stand up and take our rights and authority, no devil in hell, no political party, no anybody can stop us from having the freedom of sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and saying the name of Jesus anywhere we please and anywhere we want, praying anywhere we want to pray, taking our Bible into any place we want to take it in the name of Jesus. That's our heritage. Amen. And the men and women who founded, and they were far from perfect, but the men and women who founded this country founded it on that principle of religious freedom. And you say, well, if you have religious freedom, you have to give them all freedom. Hey, give me a fair fight against any religion in the world, and I can prove that their God is not God, that our God is alive, and his name is Jesus. Amen? And by his name, sickness has to go. Demons have to flee. There's no other name. You can't speak any other name. Why? They're all dead. I'll never forget. I tell the students this, but I'll never forget. This would have been December 1996. And in preaching in a town in Western Kenya by the name of Shianda, we were preaching there. It was the second day. It was the last day we were going to be ministering in the country. First time I ever went on a trip there. And we were ministering, and it was a very hot day in December. December, January, February, very hot in Kenya. That's the warmer months. Very hot. We were underneath in front of like a, well, we'd call it a bunch of, not even a strip mall, but just a bunch of shops, you know. We were in front of them that day. Place where we were, these shops weren't, nobody was inhabiting. It was an empty shop. But it had a canopy above it or whatever, you know, concrete. The whole thing is made out of concrete blocks. But standing out, I mean, there were 300-400 people standing there. And we sang and preached the gospel message. And then I gave an invitation for anyone who wanted to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And no one moved. No one even reacted. But I noticed that right in front of me, there was a young man. And I looked later on, and there were several young men who had... Well, we call them stocking caps, but you know what I'm talking about. But this was just came down, didn't cover their ears, but just kind of right here, warm in. It's too hot to wear something like that. But they had those on, and I noticed people were looking at this young man who was. I mean, I'm standing this close. Chris is right here, okay, and the edge of the deal's here. I'm standing here, and the first person that's standing there, there was no seats. Everybody's standing. Is right that close. Well, he's about two people behind Chris in this right here. All right. So we're preaching, and nobody. And so, you know, I thought, well, nobody want, but that's unusual. So I don't know what, but it's by the Spirit of God. You know, you got to trust God. Craig talked about that this morning, being led by the Spirit of God, knowing what to do at the moment. How are you going to do that? Because you got the Holy Ghost. And so I just, for some reason, I thought, I'm just going to preach to him. So I started talking to him about giving his life to the Lord. I said, I don't know why I just want to talk to you. Of course, using my interpreter. And I said, I made this statement. I said, you know, Jesus is alive. Now, I'm sorry to say, and I didn't know this region of Kenya there was a lot of Muslims in this area. I had no idea. All right, that stuff wasn't told us ahead of time, but we were there. Sometimes it's smart to know that stuff, but this time ignorance was a blessing. And I said, Muhammad can't save you because he's dead. I mentioned lots of other folks, you know, Krishna and Buddha and any other you can think of. They can't say because they're all dead, but Jesus is alive. And so I said, now I'm gonna ask you, are you ready to give your life to Jesus who's risen from the dead? He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I don't know what you're serving in your life right now, but that can't compare to Jesus. I said, if you're ready to give your life to the Lord right now, you raise your hand. Well, he raised his hand. So he still got his hand up, and I said to him, I said, now who wants to join this young man? I mean hundreds of people. Hundreds of people. Found out later this young man was the leader of a Muslim youth gang in that area. And all these other caps, they were, and 2 weeks before we had been up there and preached, another group of Christians went up there, and they had beaten them up, torn down and broken all their equipment, run them out of town. Well, our host hadn't told us that, plus he had connections with the government. There was plainclothes police officers there with lots of automatic weapons we didn't know about to squelch that type of thing. But they had three churches get started out of that one day there. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, I don't suggest you necessarily go and just out of the top of your head start hollering at Muslims that Muhammad won't save them. But you know, when the Spirit of God's in action and he's moving. But there's a greater name. There's a greater name than any other name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 24 with me, if you will. I want to talk to you about being clothed upon from heaven. Being clothed upon from heaven. I don't know I heard Craig say he doesn't know how anybody else prepares for their sermon. I've been working on this sermon for about 35 and a half years. Some of you will get that later. But, you know, these are things that as you look at every Christian, how many of you know the Bible says the Holy Spirit will bring things to our remembrance? Yes, yes, yes. Well, does that mean just the preacher when he's preaching? Or does that mean you and me and when we're just out and during life, during the day? The Holy Ghost will bring things to our remembrance. How many of you know you've had the Holy Ghost bring something to your remembrance before? That doesn't mean you heard an audible voice, but just something rose up that you've heard before. All right? Or scripture came to your remembrance. Well, that's, thank God, that's the Holy Ghost. Now here he says, Jesus speaking here in Luke 24, verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Now notice that, upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Now, I want you to notice two things there. The promise of my Father upon you and endued with power from on high. Now, I want to look at something there real quickly. That word endued, let's look at that. Thayer says this. This word means to sink into, such as clothing, to put on, to clothe oneself. Now let me ask you a question. Do you, when you put on clothes, are they visible on the outside or on the inside? Clothes go on to where? The outside. He said you'll be endued with power from on high. Now we don't have time. There's some great books out there, but Brother Hagin teaching on the spirit within and the spirit upon. The difference, the working of the Holy Spirit. Not only every Christian, if you're a Christian here tonight, Spirit of God's in you. But there is another work of the Spirit of God. All right? We have the Holy Spirit in measure in the new birth, but then the Spirit of God comes upon us. We call it the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because the word baptism means to be fully immersed in. In other words, you go actually into the water, so you're totally surrounded by the water. That's the idea here, to be fully clothed with this power, this promise. Now, of course, Acts chapter 1. Look over in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Jesus speaking here. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come, now notice this, upon you. Now, he's not talking about the Holy Spirit in us now, is he? He's talking about the Holy Spirit coming upon us. Now, you know, a lot of the early Pentecostals of the last 100 years, they thought that, you know, the Spirit of God just came upon you at certain times. We see that in the Old Testament. But in the New Covenant, the Spirit of God comes upon you and it doesn't leave, doesn't go anywhere. All right? He's in the receiving of this work of the Holy Spirit, when this power comes upon you. Now, you know, what's happened is, I think we have, I think the devil has, made such a big issue of the tongues issue. You're not receiving tongues, you're being baptized with the Holy Ghost. You're being clothed with the Holy Ghost. Now, he's in you, but that's different than putting on your clothes. Right? Now, it's still you, right? How many of you, well, we won't go there, but I mean, if you've got a little baby, you know, a newborn baby, it's still the person, but then what do? You don't leave them naked, you clothe them. And so in that sense, God never intended for us, now if you will, let me understand here, I'm not going to make my point here. God never intended for us to operate in this earth, in the new covenant, naked. We are to be clothed upon of the Holy Ghost. All right. Now let's look at a few scriptures. Let's look at Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. There's some other statements about putting on something. Now when we say put on, we're not talking about faking something. We're talking about actually clothing ourselves. To be clothed with. And clothes, again, go where? On the inside or outside? Outside. Glory to God. All right. Look here in Romans chapter 13, we'll begin in verse 12. It says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Now he's writing this to Christians here. Now see, on the inside, we're new creatures in Christ. Spirit of God came and brought us the new, we're born again by the Spirit of God. Brand new creatures in Christ. All right? Spotless. But you still have this flesh to deal with. Yes. Okay? Now you realize this, the flesh is on the outside, is it not? He says here, put on, take off, he said, take off like you would an old garment, a garment you don't want to wear anymore. Something, he said, cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Now, you know, a lot of Christians will stand up and we'll pound the pulpit. Well, we shouldn't be getting drunk. We shouldn't be chambering around and all this. What about strife and envy? Amen. Listen to this. Those are all parts of that darkness, he said, we're supposed to put off. Look at verse 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now, this taking off and putting on is something that we do, just like we have to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then walking in it. Let's go on. Let's look at some other verses. Let's see. I don't know if I wrote down. Yeah, I think I did. Galatians 3. Galatians chapter 3. Praise the Lord. Putting on. Now again, we're not talking about faking. We're not saying, well, you're just putting on. No, we're talking about being clothed. Aren't you glad your neighbor dressed tonight? You know, somebody looked around. Is somebody undressed? Where are they? No, thank God. Everybody's clothed tonight. But are you clothed with your spiritual clothing? Now you think about it. You wouldn't go out in public without your clothes on. All right? It's not right. Well, it's not right to go out without your spiritual clothes on, without putting on Christ, without putting on the armor of light, without being endued with that power. Here in Galatians 3, look at verse 27. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have what? Have put on Christ. Now, this is the same word as the word translated endued. In Romans, it was the same word that said to put on. It means to be clothed upon. To be not only clothed upon, but remember what he said? He said to sink into. In other words, fully engulfed inside of Christ. Fully engulfed in that power, which is what? The Holy Ghost. All right, now let's look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. He talked to them about putting off the old man and corrupt and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now you realize this, you can become a Christian or be born again. But then there is a process of living a born again life. That's part of sanctification. There's an instant sanctification that we can do nothing about. That's God's part. But then living a sanctified life is our part. And that's what he's talking about here. Put on that new man. Now notice what that new man looks like, righteousness and true holiness. Okay? Now, hopefully you're kind of getting the idea, because let's go to Ephesians 6, that really what God's saying is, put on my clothes. Put me on. Amen? So that when you stand there in front of your enemy, he can't tell if it's you or is that God. Glory to God. Now, clothing, you know, a lot of times, how many of you realize clothing identifies people? All right? Police officers wear a uniform. Their clothing identifies them. If you go to a hospital, you can generally tell who are the nurses, who are the physicians there. By what? By the clothing that they're wearing. Of course, the military operates, they have certain uniforms. Their clothing identifies them. Okay? Well, we're identified by what we put on. Now, here in Ephesians 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, again, let me say it again. Thayer's definition said, sink into the clothing of the whole armor of God. I mean, sink into it to the place that you're not, it's almost as if you're not even seen. You're in there, but you're so identified by this new clothing. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Let's read on here. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, how many of you have ever been to a high school or a college wrestling match? Or maybe young people. You ever been to a wrestling match? How many realize each team has on a what? A uniform. And identifies them. It identifies them. Well, we're in a wrestling match here. But it's not against anybody. It's not against anybody with flesh and blood. Now, you know, we get all stirred up, you know, at times, and we want to wrestle against this, and we want to wrestle against that person. But it's really not them that's the problem. Yes. Okay, well, and the problem is that they're yielding to the wrong thing. Yeah. Okay? But we do have a wrestling match to wrestle in, and it's sure great to have the right clothing on. All right, verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about it with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Take the shield of faith and the sword of wherewith you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy, wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always. So put on, here he said, the whole armor of God. Put it on. Be fully clothed within that armor. Fully clothed within. Praise God. The phrase there in verse 14, having on, is that same word that is translated endued. It's actually the English word from the Greek is enduo. All right. It means to be endued with power. Now, I can't read Greek. I'm looking at Strong's Concordance right here. Okay. Praise the Lord. Don't want anybody to think, oh boy, he just, no, I have no idea. It's all Greek to me. Okay. If you know what I mean. Colossians chapter 3. I know some people say, well, if you could just read Greek, you could understand the Bible better. No, if you just have the Holy Ghost. You need a working relationship with the Holy Ghost more than you need a working understanding of the Greek language. All right? Because he's your teacher. He's your guide. He'll lead you into all the truth. Colossians 3, verse 10, and having put on the new man, which was renewed in knowledge after the image of him that's created him, where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. He goes on to talk about putting up with one another, forgiving one another. Put that on. You see, these things that are, if you think about it, these things that are already in us by the Spirit of God, that are in us, we're to put those on as a clothing. Now, that's how God operates, you see. So much of the time, I think there's good evidence in the creation of Adam, man, and when Eve, before they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There is some good indication. They didn't know they were naked because it wasn't because they weren't clothed. It was because they were clothed from within. That they were clothed with the very, if you will, the glory or the presence of God was upon them. And so once they disobeyed God and that glory left, that light left, they realized they didn't have any clothes on. All right, some good indication there. And, you know, if that's not true, I'm perfectly willing to wait till we get to heaven for Jesus to tell you that I was right. So, but you see, God, my point in it is this. That's a joke, folks, okay. My point in it is this. God does things from the inside out. Excuse me, we tend to look at things from the outside, okay? We want, you know, we want the power to fall down when the power is already in us. How many know the power of God's in you? And we'll be endued with power from on high. Excuse me, let me take a drink here. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else thirsty? If you're thirsty, raise your hand. I've got one, two, three. I'll take a couple drinks for you, okay? You feel better? I do. Thank you. I know Christian does. Hallelujah. All right. One more. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. To be clothed, to be fully, as we've mentioned, to sink into, to put on, to clothe yourself, Thayer says. Strong says, in the sense of sinking into a garment. It also means to invest with clothing, literally or figuratively. In other words, to give. Now here in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8, but let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Putting on. Putting on the breastplate. And do it. Be what? Sink into the garment of faith and love. Sink into it. Let it fully cover you. Now I want us to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I think this gives us a great statement of what we're talking about here. And while you're doing that, I'm going to go. I should have brought that all the way out here, but got a little object lesson tonight. Okay? And it's not me walking up the steps. I'm out. See ya. Got a little suitcase here. Got some items in it. Okay. Now we're going to read this section of verses here. Then I'm going to open up the suitcase. Do a little object lesson here. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now I want us to read this in this same, because this same idea of putting on and being clothed and sinking into the garment is here. I read all those. I want to get back to this idea of we are to be sunk into the garment of the power of God. All right. Now we know there's other, you know, the Bible talks about the same power that works in us. Yes, we know it's in us. But just as much, it's supposed to be upon us. We are to be clothed with that power. We ought not have to be looking around. Where's the power, God? Amen. That's not talking about, you know, well, if I could just. You know, we have people even around here. They don't think, well, you know, if I could have come when Brother Hagin was there, I could have gotten it. You know, Brother Hagin never healed one person in his entire life. He never saved one person. Now, God sure worked through him, right? But who healed everybody? Jesus. Isn't that right? Well, so then, that tells me if I'll be obedient to what God's called me to do, God will work through me. And whatever he's called me to, and God will work through you. All right? You don't have to stand behind a pulpit to be anointed, to be endued with power from on high. You just have to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now we're told at times to be filled with the Spirit. We see other times when the Spirit of God did manifest in different ways. Excuse me. But let's read this here. Verse 53 and 54. I realize I'm jumping right in the middle of this here, but the rapture here is not and resurrection is not really my point. I'm talking about being clothed here. He says, for this corruptible must, here, what's it say? Put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now notice that. He talks about this corruptible, talking about this flesh that we have right now is going to put on incorruption. And this mortal that we have right now is going to put on immortality. And he says, it's like this. Here's what it's like. When that happens, it's as if death is swallowed up by victory. All right, now does that make sense to you? Okay. So, in order to illustrate this, now the first person I spotted tonight that I thought this would work with was Rebecca. So come up here, Rebecca. Come on up here. Rebecca is going to be clothed upon. Now they're mine, so they'll fit you really good, all right? All right, first of all, clothe yourself with that. Put that on. You're going to end up with lots of layers here. This, what? Corruptible. She's putting on corruption here. Even though it's white. I know it doesn't go. Okay. This corruptible, there you go, shall put on incorruption. So here is a safari mission. This is Vidar and Catherine, the guards. Put that on there. Shall put on. Now notice, I can give it to her, but who has to put it on her? Why, she's an adult. Now you can help babies for a while and children, right? You have to clothe them for a while. But we'll get to the place. Isn't it nice she's able to put on? I mean, if I was up here trying to dress her, that'd be out of place. Because, you know, if my daughter was up here, it might be a little different. Even my niece maybe, but that would be even, that's not. So, Christian, you got to clothe yourself. All right, now, here we're going to put on mortality. There you go. We'll keep going here. Oh, yeah. All right. Here, look out there at the camera. Now, we want to make sure they get a good shot of you here, okay? All right. She's clothed upon now. This mortality shall put on immortality. 30 years of Rhema right there. Now, what has happened here? All right, now I'm going to help you with this one. She's put on. Now, notice these don't fit her. They're not her clothes. They belong to me. Well, when you first put on God's clothes, they're not going to fit you like they're going to. All right? But now, she's put on. She's been endued with certain things. It's like this. It's like being swallowed up. Now put this thing on here. Now just bring it around you all the way so we can't even. She's swallowed up by what she's put on. Now, the difference between this and the Holy Ghost is the Holy Ghost doesn't leave any exposed areas. It's as if you're standing there in front of all of hell itself, in front of all of death, which is the last, in front of all that the devil can do, you're completely swallowed up. Amen. And endued with that power from on high. And it's if, now, other than what you can see of her face and of her feet, she's got my clothes on. She looks more like me than she does her after I got through with her. She's swallowed up with my clothes. I've endued her with my clothing. You understand that? God, by the Holy, that's what God's done to us with the Holy Ghost. He's endued us with his power. Now, thank you, Rebecca. You can take all this stuff off here. Thank you. If you want to go sit back down and take the rest of it off, thank you. Give her a big hand clap. You shall sink into the garment of the power of God. You shall sink into Christ. You shall sink into the new man, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. You shall sink into and be fully engulfed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, when you're fully clothed with the Holy Ghost, now walking in the power of the Holy Ghost, listen to me. There's no sickness nor disease can stand in your presence because it can't. It's God's clothing. Sickness and disease doesn't exist in heaven. And he said, pray that on earth as it is in heaven. And when I lay hands on you, Chris, it's not me. It's the Holy Ghost because I'm endued with his power. And I'm not, I don't have to wait. Now, there's times in ministry, ministers will tell you, I've had this happen before. You feel an anointing come on you. That does happen. All right? But that doesn't mean you didn't have an anointing. You didn't have the power of God. You had it. But it's not like, you know, like I said, old time Pentecost thought, well, whenever the Spirit wills, he'll just come upon you. And then no. That's why a lot of them got baptized in the Holy Ghost, prayed in tongues, and that's the last time it ever happened in their life. Because they didn't do it. But we're kind of a long ways from that time. We're more, you know, where we got now where we can't pray unless we pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You shall be endued. Go back to Luke chapter 24. Let's read that and we'll be done. You shall be endued. You shall be sunk into the garment. You shall be fully invested with the clothing of. You shall put on and clothe yourself with. And behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you. In other words, he's invested. Here it is. He's sending it to us. I'm sending you the clothing. I'm sending you that garment. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be what? Endued with power from on high. Again, until you be sunk into the clothing of the dunamis power of God, that power that is above the Holy Ghost. Now listen to me. That's the same power that Jesus was anointed with. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. What does that tell us? He, that same Holy Ghost power that was on Jesus is on us now. Now, he had the Spirit without measure in ministry, right? None of us. There's not one person on the earth. Now, I've seen some folks that advertise themselves like they were an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. I mean, it's amazing. You see poster bills around the world, different people, you know, come here, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, so-and-so. Seems like they leave teacher off because that's not very spectacular. But they're everything else, they think. But Jesus was and is, hallelujah. And we are clothed with that power. Now, that clothing, that power, yes, it works for our benefit. Yes, it does. But he said, and you shall be witnesses. That power is there for us to go to this lost and dying world. And share the light of the gospel, the love of God with them. And if they need to be healed, there's healing available. If they need to be delivered from addiction, there's deliverance available. Whatever there is, whatever they need, the Holy Ghost has it for them. Yes, Holy Ghost. And you see, we don't have to wait. You don't have to call. Don't call Pastor Marvin and say, would you please come down here and witness this person? No, you do it. He said, this is for every Christian. This isn't not just for the pastor, not just for the prophet. This is for every Christian. Amen? I'm convinced, I'm fully convinced that in these last days before Jesus comes back and this great outpouring of the Spirit that's taking place, it's going to happen. We're going to see it in different meetings where we come together corporately, but we're going to see a greater increase of it on the streets and on the highways and the byways and in the houses of people around the world, all over the world, where they've never even heard the name Jesus. And the name of Jesus is spoken. You go back and you read that prophecy that was spoken by Brother Hagin in 1979 of tramp, tramp, tramp. He said, who are these? He said, these are those that know that name. They know that name. That's another sermon, but that power is released through that name. But you have it. You have it. You know, we confess a lot of stuff of who we are in Christ. We need to start saying, the power of God's on me. The power of God's on me. I'm clothed with that power. Amen. I'll never forget when I first got the revelation that he's in me, that inside, that I'm wall to wall Holy Ghost on the inside. But he's just not in me. He's upon me. That's what the prophet said, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Upon you. Not just in you, upon you. Hallelujah. I mean, thank God for Peter's shadow, but how about just the glory of God as you walk down the street? Amen. Praise you, Father. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the mighty Holy Ghost. Father, I thank you that we've been clothed upon, sunk into, fully swallowed up by the Holy Ghost and his power and your power. Father, help us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, if you're here tonight and you've not been endued with power from on high, in other words, you have not been baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now, the Bible clearly, I said, you know, we've kind of made, but speaking in other tongues is the initial evidence of that. But if you've not been endued with power from on high, you don't want to leave here tonight without your clothing, your spiritual clothing, your supernatural clothing. Amen. I'm talking about the power of God in Walmart. When you see somebody all bent over and you go up to them and ask them, is it all right if I prayed for you? And they say yes. And they leave there standing up straight without any pain. That's what I'm talking about. And oh, by the way, do you know Jesus now that you're healed? Because he's the one that did it for you. Because he loves you that much. If you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you don't want to leave this place tonight. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm going to ask you, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, first of all, as your Lord and Savior, the ushers would help me. I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just raise your hand because I want to pray for you tonight. If you're here tonight and you've accepted Jesus before, but you know you're not living a Christian life, and you just want to come back into that place of closeness with God, I want to pray for you. If you're here tonight and you want me to pray for you, raise your hand. One more thing. If you're here tonight, I see the hand. Thank you. If you're here tonight and you've never been baptized with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you've never been fully swallowed up and endued, clothed with the Holy Ghost, as we've just read about tonight, I want to pray for you. Raise your hand and I want to pray for you if you're here tonight. Anyone right over here? Yes. Thank you. Anybody else? Anyone else? You can put your hand down. Thank you. All right, let's all stand if you would. If you raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, should have raised your hand on any of those, I want you to step out now. I want you to come right down here. I'm going to do exactly what I said. I'm going to pray for you. I want you to come right down here if you would, please, and meet me down here. Amen? Just go ahead, step on out. Glory to God. Glory to God. Come on out here. Amen? Praise the Lord. Come on, hey. Praise the Lord. Give these guys a big hand up. Hey, Ariel, right here. Hello. Just stand right there. Praise the Lord. Hey, man, it's good to see you again. All right. Of course, what you came for, I don't have, right? God has it, okay? And so I'm going to do exactly what I said. I'm going to pray for you. Then I'm going to let you go with our prayer. Let them talk to you, okay? Because they can give you in depth. You can ask them questions, better setting, okay? But when I pray for you, that anointing, that power that you need is going to come on you, all right? All right? Just lift your hand up before the Lord. He's where our help comes from. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, just receive your spiritual need met in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Now, that anointing came on. Now, I'm just going to spend some time here with you. You're going to want to say something. You're not going to understand it. It's not a learned language, okay? But here's what we do. The Bible said, Jesus said, if we ask the Father for the Holy Spirit, He'll give it to us. Okay? Now, if you're born again, you already got Him in you. But that coming upon that we talked about, all right? So I'm just going to lead you in prayer to ask Him. And then don't say another word in English, okay? Just speak out, all right, from in here. You got to use your vocal cords and your tongue to speak, but it's going to come from inside, all right? Just repeat this. Say, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I thank you.
Thank you.
That Jesus promised.
Jesus promised.
If we'd ask you for the Holy Spirit.
If I'd ask you for the Holy Spirit.
You give it to me.
Give it to me.
I ask you right now.
I ask you right now.
Fill me with your Spirit.
Fill me with your Spirit.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen. Now, Father, fill him. Just go ahead and speak. Hallelujah. Yeah, just go ahead. That's it. Yeah, say it loud enough that you can hear. There you go. Glory to God. Now stop for a moment. Paul said, I'll pray with the Spirit, I'll pray with their understanding. It's up to you. Now let's start up again. In the name, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. You got it, man. You got it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Tracy, take these two. Go right with Tracy right here. He's going to let you guys give you some material and pray with you guys. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's lift our hands toward Him. Father, we just thank you tonight thank you for baptizing him in the Holy Ghost. Thank you for ministering to her. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus, that every one of their needs, spiritual needs be met. We give you all the praise and all the glory for it, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's like Craig said this morning, if one gets it, it's worth turning the lights on tonight. It's worth running the air conditioner tonight. Amen. It's worth, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's worth the last almost 36 years preparing for this sermon for one person to get it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are any of our prayer team, are they still here? They all go. Want the rest of you come on down here. If you need prayer tonight for anything else, our prayer team's coming. We're going to have our men over here, our women over here. Just come down and meet with them. And they'll pray with you according to what? The Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God is what has the answer to your need. And they'll pray with you in the mighty Holy Ghost. Amen. All right. Anything else, gentlemen, ladies, that we need? We're all good. You can be dismissed. If you need prayer. First-time guests. I'm sorry. Yes. Thank you, Al. Thank you. He's headed up there. First-time visitors. The connection team's coming to find you. Amen. They're going to take you. Got a special gift just for you. They were already on the hunt. I saw them. They were headed that way when you guys said that. All right. Shake hands with two or three folks. Let them know you're glad they're here tonight and you can be dismissed. Praise the Lord.